my calculations are correct, when this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
It's showtime.
Right, welcome everybody to another episode of the VHS Strikes Back. I am one of your hosts, Chris, and my co-host and very good friend is Dave.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to the VHS Strikes Back, the show where we dust off the old video player and go on a nostalgic journey to look at the good and the bad movies of yesteryear. Now, Chris, what are we going to review this week?
Well, Dave, this is a movie that basically ignited my fucking hormones, ignited the stirring where my hormones are mainly made, Dave, created the myth that is Chris Phelps's dual shoulder injuries. But it hasn't been picked by me, Dave. This has been picked by I just thought we'd laugh about it. We say it, no, everyone's like, oh, it's a Chris Phelps shoulder injury now. That's it. Like, it's fucking legendary, my shoulders. I'm touching them both now, Dave, just to make sure they're okay. But this one's not been picked by me. It's been picked by one of our Patreons. The great Trent has picked, Dave, the 1992 Michael Douglas, Sharon Stone, sexual, well, I don't know if it's sexual, sexual thriller, Dave, Basic Instincts. So
I think the formal term is probably erotic thriller.
Probably, yeah. But I'm still 13 years old again when this came out. So, Dave, do you remember the first time you came across this absolute classic?
An interesting turn of phrase there.
So, that was in purpose. Yeah.
You know what, Chris? I am struggling to remember when I watched the whole film for the first time. Because I think it might have actually been this time. I don't think I've actually seen this all the way through, you know. I remember at the... Now, bearing in mind, when this came out and all the trailers were on and everything, I was 16, right? Yeah. I was primed. This, like, Sharon Stone was on the pinnacle of my mind at that time. Now, I think I mentioned it last week, but Sharon Stone had been in V, and she had the kind of Kylie perm haircut and stuff, yep. And she didn't really stand out as much, but there was something about just the, not just the way she looked, I mean, that white iconic dress, you know, just synonymous with Sharon Stone even now, isn't it? But it was her femme fatale type character that you could see in the trailers and stuff. I think, I'll put it straight out there, I think she delivers an amazing performance in this, and you can see why it is like a movie that catapulted her into that A-list category. But I mean, this certainly wouldn't have been one that my mum and dad would have rented out, you know? And I don't remember, I didn't watch it around any mates or anything. So, yeah, I think I've just seen this in bits. And then I've caught, like, say, the last half on the TV or something like that, probably Channel 5 late night or so, something. But, yeah, so I was quite surprised when I was going through. I was like, oh, yeah. I don't think I've seen this. Either that or the Alzheimer's has kicked in early and it's just eliminated that part of my brain. How about yourself? I got a feeling your frame of reference might be a bit different, Chris.
Well, Dave, I remember the first time I saw this one. I was with my mum's mum and dad, so my grandparents. We were sat there and like, it was one of them where we went to Titles up the road, rented it out. Me and my granddad, he's like, oh, I believe this is a good one. It was Barry Norman was going on. I never forget this, Dave. Barry Norman was going on about this one. And I'm like, and I knew exactly what it was. And I'm like, really? I fucking bet he did, yeah. So I remember watching it, Dave, with a cushion on my fucking lap, my friend. And, you know, basically thinking, if I've got to get up at this point, it's been tucked into the fucking elasticated waistband with me leaning over very quickly as I leg it to the toilet or something. But I did watch it and being totally uncomfortable, you know, watching it with my fucking grandparents thinking like,
it's
and they weren't like
in there, isn't it? At the start.
Oh, that's what I mean.
I'm surprised it didn't go off.
Well, you know, we saw it on Pulp Fiction. That was me dad's mum and dad, the old, scenes to walk in. It's the Marcellus Wallace scene, but they turned it off at the start when she fucking starts kicking off and I'm going to kill every last motherfucking one of you. And it was like, right, that's going off. You know, so he didn't do anything for their impressions of me growing up. They were never confused, Dave. But but with this one, like my nan and granddad, my mum's mum and dad, they would watch these sort of movies, and sex scenes didn't even like, if you know, I was of an age, obviously I was 13, 14 when this came out. So I probably said maybe 93 I watched it. We've never got them straight away, did we, over here? There was always like a delay of 6 to 8 months or whatever on video. So say 93. So I'm 14, nearly 15. As you said, right at the pinnacle, Chris Phelps is absolutely fucking cowboy in that fucking toilet seat and everything there. I am absolutely finding any little 5 minutes I can fucking, you know, go and grab the fucking Aldi fucking fake Andrex or whatever. But fucking rampant at this point. I mean, they say at the start of the movie, these come all over the sheets. You've got nothing on me, people. I'm telling you. Fucking, it was like a fucking, what's it, like paintball in my fucking bedroom. But anyway.
Oh, fucking
and I shared it with my brother. The dreads of thing, what his was like. There was fucking loads of us. We were lucky at that point. We had our own room, but the rest of them all just shared. There was about seven of us, I think, at that time. There's nine now. But anyway, so yeah, I remember watching it. I'm thinking, fucking hell, I'm fucking really insist. And then I started working with my cousin, and I think I did work experience as a printer when I was still in like fourth year, so like year 10 as it would be now. And he was saying to me, so that was around this time, he's like, oh, have you seen fucking, I've got it on video. And he used to go on and say to me like, you must be fucking wanking yourself. So he was about 4 years older than me, just got with his missus and that. And they were having a kid, usually 19 or whatever, 20. And he's like, I've got this, and he gave me Basic Instinct and Sliver. And he's like, you can keep them. I've got other video, and he obviously had fucking more hardcore stuff, which I found out, Dave, a year or so later, that there was swapsies going on. But I absolutely fucking watched this to death, Basic Instinct. And you know what was so bad? This is so fucking bad. I was watching it yesterday in the gym, right? And the scene where Michael Douglas has a bit with Beth, which we need to talk about.
Yeah,
I knew it starts at 36 minutes, and the bit where she's over the sofa, I thought that's 37 summer, and I touched my fucking phone, and it was, and I'm like, oh my God, you have fucking problems. And I knew the exact minute when Sharon Stone and Michael Douglas get it on after the nightclub, and I'm like, what the fuck is the matter with you? So it left an indelible image, Dave, for many a year. Fucking unbelievable. So yes, I think you're right about watching it all the way through. I think I've watched it about three or four times all the way through. But why would I, Dave? Why fucking would I? You know what I mean? So, yes.
Just fast forward to the rude bits, and then once you've finished, fast forward past the rude
bits. Past them, Dave. That's the tactic. You see, nobody even thinks of that, do they? You know what I mean? Yeah. So, except Chris Phelps. But yeah, so... What a pick, Trent. I'm sorry I've railroaded this one, but I had to get that story out, Dave. I've been sat on it all week thinking, do I really go down the route of just telling it? And I've told it, so it's out there, but there you go.
Very good, sir. Well, shall we get into the trailer?
Let's go.
We got 31 stab wounds.
What was it?
Ice pick.
I'd like to speak to a Miss Catherine Trammell, please.
Is she a suspect?
She's a suspect.
I wanted to write a book about the murder of a retired rock and roll star.
You know how she does the boyfriend? With an ice pick.
She intended the book to be her alibi.
I picked him up, then I had sex with him.
You didn't feel anything for him, you just had sex with him for your book.
In the beginning. Then I got to like what he did for me.
You like playing games, don't you?
It's nice.
You've got no physical evidence.
She's lying. What's your new book about?
A detective who falls for the wrong woman.
What happens?
She kills him.
Stay away from her! You are out of control, Kurt.
You won't learn anything I don't want you to know.
She knew I'd say she did it, and she knew that nobody would buy it.
She is screwing with your head, Nick.
She knows things about me that I only told you.
How does it feel to kill someone?
You tell me.
Over your head.
it. She manipulates people.
Freeze!
How much did she pay you?
You better play her! Come on!
She knows where I live and breathe.
Games are over, Nick.
Homicide detective Nick Curran and his partner and best friend, Gus Moran, investigate the murder of retired rock star Johnny Boz in San Francisco. Boz was stabbed to death with an ice pick while having sex with a mysterious blonde woman. Nick's prime suspect is Boz's girlfriend, crime novelist Catherine Tramell, whose novel mirrors the crime. Now, Chris, what do you reckon to the opening of this movie?
Well, Dave, I've got to say, if it was set in the 50s, and I went down a rabbit hole of this as well, you're watching it now, right? And, you start off, you've got this blonde there and you can't see her face and all that. I must admit, Dave, if you think of it logically, nipple watch probably would have been the best way to describe who is this person. Where the fuck is DNA? Because DNA was out at this point.
Yeah.
But the movie literally goes, oh, we don't use that on this. We don't need it for this. We're just going to try and go old school here and just try and find clues like it's Cluedo. You know, he killed him in the bedroom on the bed with a fucking an ice pick or whatever. That's still, even as it, when I used to watch it years ago, I used to think, well, why? They did do DNA tests. DNA was in from the 80s and I knew that then. So that bit never sticks with me. But again, Dave, Michael Douglas comes in. Cool as fuck. You've got the sexy, obviously, he gets killed, the guy at the start. And I've got to say, Dave, I'm going to be honest, didn't do it for me like I thought it was. I thought I was going to have a memorable Chris Phelps. Yeah, commemorative one, like a testimonial one, just to get it out of my fucking system. But it didn't do it for me this time. But yeah, I think the stylization of the movie and the music and the way it all sings is really good. But that bit is just so unbelievable that they cannot trace who the person is that's killed him. That just, that doesn't sit well, because that is literally the opening scene of the movie and it doesn't age well at all. Forget technology's changed. In 1992, somebody would have got rumbled for doing that, definitely.
I'm so glad you picked up on that, because I was thinking the same. I was like, they talk, don't they? Oh, there's cum all over the sheet, so he got off before he was off to, you know, ha ha ha, very fucking funny. Yeah. I don't like, but surely, like, you've got the DNA right fucking there. There's going to be, in with that, obviously that's the dead person, but, you know, there's going to be other stuff, isn't there, that's available.
Hair,
there's
whatever.
Going to be hair, yeah. So it's just a bit weird. And when you said if it's set in the 50s, I guess, I was thinking, have I missed something? Was it set in the 50s? But no, it's obviously just set in the time, isn't it? So in the 1990s. So yeah, massive glaring hole that about the lack of any sort of DNA. But, you know, if it was set in the 50s, that would make total sense. I mean, this, what surprised me, because you've got this fixed view of what this is, haven't you? And it's all about Sharon Stone, basically. And what took me by surprise a little bit, actually, I guess a number of things took me by surprise, but fucking straight in there, like with the sex scene at the start.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a proper soft porno, isn't it? You know, lots of skin on show. I don't know why there was this mystery. I mean, it was clearly Sharon Stone straight from the off. So there's no real mystery for me. I mean, they try and do a bit of a fake out with Dr. Beth, don't they? But I don't know. It never felt to me like the ending was in doubt. It was almost like Columbo. You know, when Columbo, you basically see the crime at the start and you think, oh, fucking, that's clever, isn't it? How's anyone going to solve this one? Up steps Columbo. Oh, just one more thing. I don't agree with that in the workplace. at the Coventry conference. So
it's not be like him. Yeah.
But this is so, I don't know if this is even a term, but Hitchcockian.
Yes.
I don't know if that's a term, but it's very, very much like those kind of Alfred Hitchcock thriller movies, just with a lot of fucking sex on show. But I feel like the performances are great, and the music you mentioned about the score, I think it's fantastic. It does a great job. I mean, it sails a little bit close to the wind in terms of being almost Harry Potter or some kind of fantasy adventure at times. But I do think the score really jumps out as being really good. But so that was it. It was the second thing that surprised me was how good the score was.
Yeah, and I think you're right, Dev. I think when obviously they're there and around the bend and so on, and then you get Nick coming, don't you? And he's got this like thing where the guy, internal affairs, they fucking hate him, don't they? Like, you know, he's been accused, he's shot two people. I mean, he fucking admits it. He's in the bar and that guy's calling him shooter, isn't he? Who's a dickhead, basically, the cop. But what gets me is, Dave, you're in this world of this movie and nobody can be trusted except for his partner, who's calling him Hoss all the time. So it must be some sort of Irish thing, because that's what they call people, Hoss and that. But he's his mate. He's so loyal to Nick, isn't he? But like Nick's like, yeah, I've done 3 months. When he sees Beth after like they've been on this scene, I've had no drink, fucking coke, Dave, fucking cigarettes. Yeah. Like, and he's just passing it off. He's like, you're a fucking policeman. And you're with this like psychology. I know we realised then that they've been together. Got to say, Dave, watching it now, I think Beth is rather attractive. I do like my brunettes as I've got older. My attraction to women has changed as I've got older. I do like Sharon Stone in this, but yeah, I think Beth is rather pretty. But I've got to say, there's so much, I think you're right. The performances, the individual performances are amazing. But when you watch and actually watch the movie as a movie, not just me fucking pulling one off.
That's a porno.
The plot, yeah, it's a porno. The plot is fucking really wishy-washy, isn't it? Like, there's so many things. Like, Beth drops in there. Oh, I remember her from Berkeley. You know, after about 40-odd minutes in the movie. And you're like, well, hang on a minute. That is the most obvious plot device that's going to come back at some point later on in the movie. But yeah, I think like Sharon Stone, when we get to meet her properly and they go to like the Malibu apartment and the fucking mansion, she is stunning. And you're right, the way she can flick and control everything, and she's controlling Nick, she's controlling his partner, and like a dialogue and everything, and she knows everything. And I like the way, as a character, they're like, but why would she kill? You know, the police are saying before he goes there, like, but why would she do that? And that guy says, Donnie, he's been in loads of movies. Well, the thing is, she's done it and it's there in plain writing because she's a psychopath, or she's got an alibi by saying, why would I then kill somebody the way I've written it in my book? You know, so you've got that, is it really her? You're right. It was pretty much it's her at the start when she's having sex with that guy. But there is that thing in the like, oh, is it though? You know, so I do like what she does. I think her performance is amazing. And when she's on screen, you can't take your eyes off her, not from the pervy side of it. Just I think her performance is probably her best ever performance in a movie. She's and Michael Douglas is excellent in it, but her especially, it elevates her so highly.
Yeah, definitely. And the thing is, you say about Nick and his vices there, that he's not a likable character, is he? No. Well, I guess I'm trying to think, like, in the 90s, was he a likable character? But when they go up to Catherine's place in Malibu, she's literally, like, sticking her dress on, but she's naked. And he's just there having a right old fucking perv, isn't he? Take a picture, it'll last longer.
You know what? I'm so glad you said it, because I was watching it going, this is a bit fucking seedy, isn't it? What's he doing here, Nick? You're a fucking perv. You know what I mean?
Just imagine Vic Reeves fucking doing his, you know, where he rubs his thighs.
That would have been the 90s. Whoa, yes. But you're right. Yeah. You're right. It's so bad. Fucking great spot that, Dave.
But when she comes into the interrogation room, and to be honest, that happens a lot earlier than I thought it was.
Yes.
And just because it's so iconic, and, you know, I've probably seen more parodies of it than I actually have for this actual scene. But again, her controlling of that room. But again, you're sort of thinking, like, there's about fucking 5 or 6 coppers in there.
Men as well.
Yeah. All men. Yeah. And there's something about the lighting, the camera is all facing upwards, You know what I mean? It's all like as if it's from waist height anyway, you know, yeah. It just, but I think I was reading and there's some conflicting reports about, you know, did she actually agree to, to have that infamous scene shown?
Yes.
You know, and it's kind of like, you know, again, the internet wasn't as much of a thing then, but if it was, can you imagine it? It'd fucking blow up now, wouldn't it? But it was all in the public zeitgeist. But she was worried, she's saying, that it would, you know, take away from her performance. And I don't think it did. You know, I mean, there was a whole lechy fucking thing ultimately, which is why it all blew up. But her performance as that femme fatale is fucking amazing. Like you say, you can't take your eyes off her. And it's the way she's almost like a cat playing around with a mouse or something, you know, not Tom and Jerry style, because roles are reversed. But but where she's saying about, oh, did you ever fuck anyone, Nick, when you were married, you know, and I couldn't help but notice the fucking guy from Jurassic Park. Now, apparently, Chris, Steven Spielberg saw this and thought, I need him in my movie.
Yeah.
He's literally because of this role. Yeah. And it's like, oh, yeah. And he's that guy. So, you know, he did well out of it. But fucking hell, I was talking about the guy from last week in A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. Oh, I was talking about the lead guy being sweaty. But fucking hell, Jurassic Park guy was almost like the aeroplane guy anyway, sweating all over the place. But there was something, as great as Sharon Stone's performance, watching it now, there was something just a bit seedy about all those fucking blokes being there, fucking lusting after her.
Yeah, there was, to be fair. And you wouldn't get that now, would you? You wouldn't get that in a movie, that sort of thing. But you're right, but she holds them all. I think it's a great scene showing how fickle and no matter what they're supposed to be doing, pathetic men are. Basically, if you've got a beautiful woman there who's sexy, and obviously, see, the thing is, Dave, and you said about like him getting the part in Jurassic Park, I didn't realize, I mean, you know, joking aside, you know, I know I'm like taking the piss and that, but that actual scene, these rumors, isn't there, that she didn't know the scene was in the movie until they got to the actual premiere, and she fell out with Paul Verhoeven, who's like the director and stuff. But then he's saying, we had loads of things about it. She did, as you said, about the discrediting and all that stuff. But that is actually her doing that, isn't it? You know, I've always thought, oh, it's bullshit. You know, it's a fake scene or whatever. You know, like they're not going to do that. But it actually is. So that shocked me reading up on this. I thought, that's a load of nonsense. That's not real. But it is. So, yeah.
So I think the whole scene, she would have thought that would have been in the movie. And that's where I think her performance is great. I think the bone of contention, no pun intended, is the crossing of the legs bit, you know, and just how much you would see on screen. You know, can you imagine watching it in IMAX or something for the first time? Like, fucking hell. So that was the problem she had. But then he said something, I think Sharon Stone's account of things is, he said that her underwear was reflecting the light or something like that. It's almost as good as George Lucas's thing to Carrie Fisher, where, oh, people don't wear bras in space. So you have to take your bra off.
Take your bra off. Fucking brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. That's bullshit, isn't it?
It is absolute bullshit. So, for something that was on screen for basically not quite a nanosecond, you know, the amount of furore it created is unbelievable. But again, I just want to emphasize, I think her performance in that scene is amazing. And it's just, I can see why she would have a bit of a problem that it's like, okay, so because I crossed my legs and I had no knickers on, like, that's the thing that people are talking about, not this fucking amazing performance.
Yeah, yeah. But then, Dave, you think of it the other way. If she hadn't have done that scene, she wouldn't have had the career And it's not, I'm not glorifying that. Do you understand what I mean? Nobody knew who Sharon Stone was until this movie with this scene, because everyone wanted to see it, didn't they? Like I said, there was no internet, but it was all over the newspapers. Barry Norman, that was mainly how you knew about certain films, wasn't it, in the UK? You'd watch like the movie shows and stuff. And I'm not saying it's right, but that scene is the scene that basically elevated her career after this, didn't it? So it's like, where do you go with it? Does she thank... Is she thankful of that? And when, obviously, because they're actors and actresses and it's an art, isn't it? It's not just a case of using your body in that for things like that. But when something hooks like the public, whatever it is, you've got to run with it, haven't you? So, you know, would she still be doing Police Academy movies if that scene hadn't happened, whether it's right or wrong? It's a really interesting conversation. I haven't got the right answer for it. I'm not doing it, being sleazy or anything like that, but it's a really weird... it's a good discussion point, I think.
I'd say, I do think the performances are great, the score's great and everything, but I think without that infamy on that particular scene, I think this is just consigned to the erotic thriller section in blockbusters. It's like, all right. And she'd done a bunch of stuff before, but... you wouldn't have said she was an A-lister. And she basically got this role because all the A-listers turned it down because she didn't want to do the nude scene. So you're right. I mean, I would say she is an incredible talent. But, you know, she'd have needed a bit more luck in something else to get to that A-list status. It was definitely that propelled her up there.
100%, 100%, and made me a fan day for quite a few movies afterwards. But,
Chris, we've probably spent like 10 minutes on what is ultimately about, you know, a fraction of a second in the movie. But, you know, that scene obviously gets Nick hot under the collar. And we've seen him have this interaction with Beth. We've established that, you know, he isn't in a relationship now. They used to date. They used to have a sex life and whatever. What do you think of that scene when he goes back to Dr. Beth's, a little bit hot under the collar and gets rid of some of his tension there?
Well, as I said, playing, you know, we were laughing about it before the trailer, 36 minutes going into 37, Dave. I knew exactly when that was kicking in, but that is not a good scene, Dave. Let's be honest. That is assault. That is not part of their foreplay. She's not consenting at all. Let's be honest. It's a fucking awful scene. And like you were saying about Nick not being a likable character, I think watching it now, it's fucking horrible to see more than anything. Mm. You know, like I was watching it really uncomfortable, that scene, I'll be honest with you. Even though I knew the minutes and all that, that is not a good... And it's not really talked about because, like you say, the infamy of her split-second crossing her legs takes precedence over the whole movie. But that is a really, really bad scene. If Nick had got taken out at the end, I don't think the audience would have been bothered, like, with watching it now. You'd be like, you utter wanker. You know, he's basically raped her, hasn't he? That's what he's done. It's awful.
See... I think this is one where they're filming it and they're I think what the director's trying to show there is basically, you know, Nick's he's not a straight-laced person anyway. So he's got all these other things that he's into, but he's exposed to this world. You know, they were asking Catherine, weren't they, about sadomasochism. And again, it's one of the things, sadomasochism in the 90s was a bit softer, I think, you know, because it basically was a silk scarf. You know, that was the start, middle and end of it. But so he's, you know, basically got all hot under the collar because all this talk of, you know, he's basically hot for Catherine. But so he goes to have sex with Beth, who he's had a pre-existing sexual relationship with, but he's not in a relationship now. And she does actually fucking say no. But I think in terms of the story, in terms of the plot, they just fucking scooch right on past it. All you have is they're having a little bit of a cuddle and she's saying, oh, you weren't like that before. But that's it. That is literally it. And so it's not addressed at all. And so, fucker deserved to die, really.
Yeah. it's awful, isn't it? Because it all unraveled. You already had that kickoff with Nielsen, which this Nielsen, usual, you know, he's an absolute prick in it. For no reason, he starts giving him shit in the bar. That's why they leave. They have this scene. And then obviously she kicks him out and everything, quite rightly. But then it just spirals for Nick then, doesn't it? He gets more and more involved with Catherine. And like, obviously we meet Catherine's girlfriend, Roxy, at the house initially. And then it's like, there's a little bit of tit for tat. You think Catherine and Nick are going to get it on, but it's a little bit later. There's a little bit of teasing going on there. And then eventually when they get to the nightclub, obviously we get the scene back at the house sort of thing. But I will say, Dave, the movie then leans into, we've had the little bit of Beth, you know, oh, I know her from Berkeley, which she didn't tell Nick initially. But then you get this thing with Roxy. So you're thinking straight away, fucking Roxy's the jealous ex. It's definitely her. She's the killer. You know, she's wearing a blonde wig. You know, it's definitely her. But it's sort of too obvious, isn't it? It's too obvious of a, you know, it's her sort of thing. And I think ultimately when Nick's, obviously Roxy's just jealous. She says she likes her watching, but then Roxy like tries to take Nick out, doesn't she, in the thing. And what I found, Dave, as well, you've probably seen it yourself in the trivia, because Michael Douglas was a race driver. He did all his own stunts. To all the driving scenes, that's for him. And the sex scenes is Michael Douglas and Sharon Stone. There's no body doubles in the movie at all. So all the scenes are them two. So, yeah, it just little things like that. I mean, it could have been a little thing, Dave.
He's living his best life, isn't he?
He is, really, yeah. Yeah, let's be honest. He is, really. The old classic. I mean, he said the people he wanted, Demi Moore, he wanted Michelle Pfeiffer to play Catherine. I'm like, I fucking bet you do. You know, I mean, even Paul Verhoeven wanted, he actually wanted a full-on lob on in the movie, Paul Verhoeven. He wanted a full-on fucking erect penis, didn't he? Yeah, he said first movie ever. First, like, you know, mainstream Hollywood movie. He wanted, like, obviously it's fair, isn't it?
You've got the woman. I thought I saw that he had it in his contract that he wouldn't do a full frontal.
He wouldn't, yeah, he wouldn't. The only, apparently, dick that's in the movie is the guy at the start, but you don't really see it anyway. But yeah, he wanted, Paul Verhoeven's idea was he wanted a full erect penis in the movie. There's no way.
The director wanted it,
No way he would have agreed to that, Dave. They'd have to be smoking mirrors if I had to do something like that. Can you get a body double in? You're fucking right, you can. Well, get a fluffer in. Come on.
What is the phrase, you know, putting a camera on you adds £10. I wonder if it's the same.
10 inches. Fucking hell,
Fucking chopper. How many cameras? Word, yeah. Just get more cameras on you.
Brilliant.
But, I guess I just didn't... I didn't ever feel... I think with Roxy, I think there was a bit of a wobble. With... sorry, not Roxy. With Dr. Beth, I felt like there was a bit of a wobble, and it's like, oh, this does seem strange. Whereas with Roxy, I never believed like she was the killer. She was too insignificant, and I guess because Sharon Stone is so magnetic on the screen, there was just something in my gut that was just like, yeah, it's totally you. But yeah, the thing with Roxy, I guess for me, that was almost like building up this character that, you know, Catherine is this promiscuous, you know, type character. She swings both ways. She's just, you know, into the delights, the sins of the flesh, Chris, you know, and like, this is what, this is what, yeah, this is what.
I probably watched it, The Sins of the Flesh. Yeah. I fucking definitely watched that one. I can see it nowadays.
With Thingy from fucking X-Files.
Yeah, David Duchovny, French Shoes Diary. Oh, a woman wanted to feel about it. I've got a letter. A woman wanted to feel her ultimate desires, and her husband wasn't putting out. So she went to this club with a mask on, and it unraveled, and her body was not her own. Can help them. I'm getting a semi on now. Right, carry on. Go on.
But you're saying about, you know, Michael Douglas, you know, doing all his own stunts in his car and stuff, and then, you know, they're making sure, no, it's all right, I don't need a body double, thanks, I've got this one, I'll take one for the team, don't worry. Yeah. But Chris, he's 48 in this, right? He's fucking the same age as me now, right? And I just think, especially when he's walking around the club, he looks fucking ridiculous. I mean, bear in mind, he's a good-looking bloke, right? He's still nearly fucking 50 walking around this club where you've got clearly a whole bunch of people a lot younger in this ridiculous fucking V-neck top. And I don't know what it was. It really tickled me. He looked like how I would feel if I went out into a club now. It's all people in their fucking late teens and 20s, and I just feel like fathering them. Like, you know, make sure you, get home safe and stuff. You know,
you'd be wearing your ripped jeans, Dave, wouldn't you, and everything, fucking tight shirt. You'd be all right. You'd be fine.
What is it? The Steve Buscemi. Yeah. Hello, fellow kids.
But you're right, because it does look weird, doesn't it? He just puts his V-neck on and suddenly they're saying he's 42 in this. Is he fucking? And he looks good. He does. He's a good-looking guy. Got the hair. He looks in shape, you know, when they're having the sex scenes and that. You know, fair play to him. But, yeah, it doesn't sit with me. And obviously, Sharon Stone's about 30 in this again. So it's another... Yeah, she said this. Say she's 30. But yeah, I think
it's not as bad as fucking last week, though, is it? With a funny thing that happened on the way to the forum, where they're all probably north of 55, and the girls are all 20.
Yeah, it's bullshit, isn't it? Sid James all over, Dave. Barbara Windsor. I'll make you famous. I fucking bet you will. But no, I think as well, through the movie, you're alluding to, she's always got an ice pick. Nick's got one, haven't they? And then there's a point where Nick becomes a suspect then, don't they? And they interview Nick, and he says the line that she said when he starts to smoke and get like the joke. But I think with Nick, the way Catherine does it, she knows all his info. And he's like, who the fuck knows all this info? And then he goes mad at Beth, and it's that Nielsen. Well, this is when they have another kickoff, don't we? He fucking grabs him, but then Nielsen ends up dead. And it's like, any point in this movie, because she says she's writing a book about him, you know, she knows his name's Nikki, his wife, all this other stuff. She knows all these things, what he drinks. And it's like, who the fuck's feeding you all this information? Mm. And Nielsen's got this file, and there's loads of little bits. And that's when we find out, I've got to say, Dave, the situation with Beth, right? So this is when we find out about Beth. Beth isn't Beth, basically. She's someone who had a one-night stand with Catherine at Berkeley, and she then, for some reason, is obsessed with her. She's now become a psychologist, a police psychologist, Dave. They don't do any background check. She dyes her hair brown from blonde. Terrible wig when they have the shots when she's supposed to be like college. Yeah. It's fucking awful at uni. It's like, well, how has she got away with changing her name, doing, you know, it none of it makes sense, because Catherine's given Nick a name, but he says the wrong name. Or she says, I thought she said the right, he had the right name, but when he sees her again, there's an R in there, and then he finds that it's Beth, and it all unravels, and Nielsen's had this file on him and all this. And it's like, well, it's pretty obvious where this is going. Beth is obviously deranged, but she's now working at a fucking police station. Dave, that is a reach and a half either side of all the sex scenes, but that is really, really bad storytelling for me.
Yeah, I think it's just sloppy, isn't it? And bearing in mind that there might be lots of other clues that we've missed. You know, we've just watched it the one time. You've watched it many, many times, but not all of the clues you were looking out for.
No. Mine was more like the action scenes, Dave. Yeah,
definitely the action scenes. So I don't know. I just, there was a bit where I wobbled, where I thought, oh, yeah, this does seem weird. You know, when Michael Douglas, when Nick goes into her apartment, the door's open for some reason. I don't know why that is, you know, and the fact she's changed her name. I mean, she'd have got that job in the 80s, wouldn't she? So, you know, probably background checks weren't as stringent as we expect them to be now. So I can believe someone could change their name and get into the police force as a criminal psychologist. But again, I never truly believed she was the killer. I was always still thinking it was Catherine. But yeah, it did make me think a little bit that it was very strange what she was saying. So you can kind of, you can believe that Nick is confused and you know, he thinks, oh, could it be Roxy? Could it be Beth? Is it Catherine? Yeah, I think I can kind of go with it just about.
Yeah, that, I think like the stuff we find out about, like, obviously Beth's husband dying before the professor, he died as well. And then you've got this whole thing where basically, you know, the book finishes and she just fucks him off then, doesn't she? She gives him the cold shoulder.
Yeah.
But then it's all pointing towards Beth. And I think you're right. I think, like, everything is Beth in it. Like, you know, the evidence, the files, all the stuff she's got. She's implicated in every single murder. And then what I find weird is when his friend, what's he called? Fucking name, Gus, goes, doesn't he, to her apartment, and then he's outside and he realizes like he's going to get fucking off. Then he's in the lift and everything. That's pretty brutal again. Another brutal scene, the killing, everything. But when Beth turns up and she's got the thing in her pocket, and Nick's there with a gun, he pulls a gun on her, and he's like, fuck, he thinks it's Beth. He's like, right, fucking you. Why would you put your hand in your pocket when someone's got a fucking gun? And it's like, it doesn't make any sense. You take your hands out and say, I haven't got a gun, you know, come and get me. Why would you want yourself to be killed? And then it's obviously a fucking keyring thing or keychain thing. And at the end, she's like, I love you. And then dies. And I'm like, fuck off. That is so ridiculous. And then all this, it's like Scooby-Doo, all the evidence is that, oh, there's a police fucking coat here. Oh, hang on a minute. There's some clippings of Catherine. Wait a minute. Oh, look at this. It's like, even at that point, I think watching it this time, even I was like, this is too fucking cute. This is too obvious. Like, it's not Beth, is it? It's the last act has led to it's Beth, and she's a fucking deranged lunatic, but she's not. And I think you're right. I think like the way it comes at the end and they're having the sex and that, and then you see the ice pick, like, you know, Catherine was about to off him, and you're like, oh, right, okay, fair enough. But if you had DNA, we wouldn't have had to watch this whole movie, would we, for 2 hours?
Saved us 2 hours.
So I think it's an unsatisfactory ending that's really, really too obvious, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I felt like it got silly at the end. I mean, literally, his fucking nickname is Shooter.
Fucking brilliant.
And he's got a gun there. And it's like, hold on, I'm just going to not explain what I'm doing, but I'm just going to reach into my pocket. You might think I'm the killer, but honestly, it's just a fucking Pez or something. You know, so it's ridiculous. And then, like you say, she says, like, I love you kind of thing. And it's like, oh, fucking hell, I've just shot my girlfriend. Oh, Catherine, should we go fuck? Like, what was it, rabbits or whatever? It's like, he just doesn't fucking mourn at all. It's just like, oh, maybe she wasn't the killer. And then, you know, off they go into the sunset. But, you know, the dialogue at the end, because again, it's like it fades to black, you know, so they're having that pre-coital chat, and then it looks like they're about to get it on again, and it fades to black, and then it reappears, doesn't it? And then it goes down, and you've got the ice pick there. And the dialogue definitely seemed to be, she didn't want kids, like, fiercely didn't want kids. Because what was the thing? So, it wasn't rabbits, it was like minks. So he says, fuck like minks, raise rugrats, and live happily ever after. And Catherine says, hate rugrats. And she leans over the side of the bed. And then he's like, fuck like minks, forget the rugrats, live happily ever after. And she's like, all right then. I mean, that is a twist, or that is a turn, isn't it? So, really doesn't like kids, Chris.
It's one way to stop reproduction, Dave. But have you got anything else before we go into the scores?
Let's go.
So, Dave, I'm so pleased that Trent picked this. And thank you, Trent, for picking it, mate. It saved me a pick, if I'm being honest. It's been on my list, and I'm like, I just don't know whether I should do it to myself. But we've done it anyway, so brilliant, brilliant pick. I think if it was just for the fact that I used to fucking want myself silly to this movie, it'd be going straight to the top. However, it's not really a great story. I think it sits at like 56% on Rotten Tomatoes, and I think that's probably what it is. Watching it now, there's some really questionable leaps and plot devices. However, Sharon Stone is amazing in it, like, not just because of the scene, honestly, not just, her acting is amazing. She's on the screen, she commands it. She's got all the male, even though it's very male orientated and sexualized, she absolutely has them on the edge all the time. Mm. She's pulling the strings with these guys, without a doubt. She's the puppet master. I think her performance is brilliant. It's probably her best movie that I've seen her in, if I'm being honest, just for her acting, 100%. Michael Douglas is good in it. I really like his character, and like, he's always on the edge and that. Not likable, as we've said. But yeah, there's loads of fucking shit that goes wrong with this movie for me. It doesn't make any sense. So I'm going to put it in the middle there. It's got to be a hill valley. Will I watch it again? I don't know, actually, Dave, because... There is better sources of income out there if you're into that sort of, you know,
sources of income.
Well, sources of enjoyment if you need a quick 10 minute to yourself. But as a young, impressionable Chris, this was all it was about, Dave. This Baywatch, Jet from Gladiators, kept me going through my teenage years, Dave. So no, what about yourself?
Well, this is almost frustrating, Chris, because I'm sure we've scored things the same for the last few weeks. Or we've been in the ballpark, at least. I'm going to go the same. It's a hill valley for me. I think the performances of the two main stars, so Sharon Stone and Michael Douglas, are great, even though, like I say, Michael Douglas is supposed to be our protagonist, but I don't think he's a particularly nice person. I think if he'd have been killed, I think that, for me, should have been how the film ended. So, yeah, but really enjoyed it. And in terms of just being a thriller, right, let's drop the erotic part for the minute.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's the score that's really pulled me along on this, you know. I feel like the performances and the score are the two things that I would really hold up. But in terms of plot, I never really believed it was anyone else other than Catherine. The fact that it's 92 and there's no DNA whatsoever, there's not even a mention of it. There's not like, oh, the crime scene's contaminated or something like that. I mean, I'm trying to think when things like CSI came out, but at least in my head, you know, DNA was being used. But also, you know, it was in the zeitgeist as well. Like, people knew about it. So that's the thing that doesn't make sense to me. I think your idea, if that you just said it's in the 50s or the 60s, even the fucking 70s, right? they could have, like, waved all that away. So, yeah, I think glad I've watched it. Would I watch it again? I probably would watch it again, but not for a while. I mean, it's a long movie as well, isn't it? It's over 2 hours, and I felt the length, Chris. As I was watching it. That sounds so wrong. But yeah, no, great, great pick. It is an iconic movie as well. And so I think, it gets a little bit bumped up because of that. You know, utterly iconic. Definitely propelled Sharon Stone into stardom. Kept Michael Douglas fucking clinging on to his.
Fucking brilliant. Oh, Dave, I'm laughing because it's my pick. And I said I had one in my back pocket. I have several. Now, this movie won 5 Golden Raspberries, Dave, for the worst picture, worst director, worst actress, and worst new star.
It's like the opposite. And also... oh, it wasn't one. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, was it?
Yeah, it was, yeah. It was, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And then one for Jim Nabbers as the worst supporting actor. It was given a 1.5 out of 5 from Roger Ebert. another film critic, Gene Siskel, gave it a 0 out of 4. Saying the main actor's just in it for the money now. I can't wait to watch this. I've not seen this for
not
years.
Not Lauren Avedon, is it?
No. So this one stars Bubba Smith, Dave, Hightower out of Police Academy.
Oh, yeah.
Sandra Peterson, Parker Stevenson, Jim Nabbers, Ned Beatty, Lonnie Anderson, and the great ultimate Burt Reynolds, Dave. Oh, this one is the 1983 NASCAR comedy romp, and I'm air quoting, Stroker Ace. So let's get into the trailer.
Oh,
ever since folks could remember, Stroker Ace hated only one thing.
I read to my whole
second place.
Ain't out a little bit further, will you? I'm going to make a turn.
He's got the same shirt.
That's a good shirt, yeah. A
good shirt. And if you don't know why,
music. Now, Burt Reynolds is on lead, and that's going to NASCAR team, Dave.
He's a sporting man.
You either crash or win.
And I like that.
Don't fucking do it.
A ladies' man.
And of course, it's my job to travel with you to make sure everything's properly arranged.
Just going to get into something comfortable.
That's where he met his wife, a
man's man.
Seriously, does he wear that jacket everywhere? It's straight from Cannonball.
Chicken pit special.
Cannonball is chicken in the band.
You think it's easy driving with chicken feet?
These days of thunder, Dave, before days of thunder.
I've done some dumb things in my life, but this is the dumbest.
I want you.
You do?
Yes.
I think it's important that you be here for this.
I'll just do that and just put that right off of there. Now you'll be alone.
Oh, fuck me.
Reynolds is Stroker Ace. And it's going to take Ned Beatty, Jim Nabors, Parker Stevenson, Bubba Smith, and Lonnie Anderson to put him in his place.
Is this for spectacular?
This is good. Can't wait. I might have to add this to my collection, Dave, of Burt Reynolds movies. Oh. Fucking brilliant.
It looks like such a derivative thing, though. Like you say, from other movies, like it's basically the Smokey and the Bandit. It's basically Burt Reynolds, isn't it? It's always the same sort of character. I'm not sure how much actual acting is going on, but... Oh, fuck me.
I have done you. You bring on any horror movie, whatever you fucking want. This is probably going to go down as one of the worst movies we've ever covered, Dave. I know this is a bad one. I can't wait.
I have got a fucking week to think about this.
You better bring the heat, my friend, because I know at some point in the next day or so, you're going to message me going, you are a fucking cock. That is the worst movie I've ever seen. So, Dave... I'm putting the line in the sand. Bring it on, my friend. So fucking brilliant. So if, like Dave, you hate my guts now because I've picked Stroker Ace for next week, you can send an email in at the vhsstrikesback@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on social media, at vhsstrikesback. If you get time, please drop myself and Dave a review on the show. We really appreciate it. And tell me how much you love Burt Reynolds movies. Absolutely amazing. I almost, Dave, picked a movie by Mr. L and A as his initials, but I didn't. I didn't. You mentioned the movie before.
Can't
I didn't.
Have many left.
Oh, Dave, there's, as you said before you didn't do the Commandant Lassard voice, but there's many Lauren Avicon.
Many.
There's that girl's underneath the fucking vestibule thing. But anyway, under the pew. So if you want to support us, please get over to patreon.com/ The VHS Strikes Back. So the roll call of honour and a massive thank you to Mr. Mike Burton, Lee, Helen, Dylan, Stephen, Trent, Dan, Justin, Susan, Timothy, Matt, Ken, Lucky Lulu Green, Herbs, Jax, Math, Blake, John Hammond, and Mr. Tony Farina. So thank you so much for all your support, guys. We really, really appreciate it. So Dave, anything else before we go?
Well, I will say, Chris, we were playing around musically again this week, weren't we? So playing around with different tools to see what we could make. And we thought, you know what, we may not do this every week, but we'll certainly try. And we put together a little arrangement for Basic Instinct. And basically... It's the most self-indulgent, fucking brilliant. Self-referencing set of inside jokes. If you've been a long-time listener, you'll know. If you're listening for the first time, probably not. But anyway, Chris, this is a little number I thought we'd put in the outro. Now, we did. There were two variations, like a dancey one, which I'm going to play now, and then after the outro music, I'll stick the other one at the end as well. But this is Basic Instinct time. I'll speak to you next time.
Bye.
What's your new book about?
A detective. He falls for the wrong woman.
What happens?
She kills him.
Max, there's no need to be uncertain. Let's limber up the shoulder and make sure we draw the curtain. There's an ice pick in the bed, but we don't know who's the owner. Her thrashing murderous ways, though, can really kill a boner. Nick Curran is a troubled cop and well known for his vices. He's on a complex murder case
where Catherine entices.
That sweaty guy from Jurassic Park looks like he has a fever. The cops are all left wondering, did I just see her beaver? Roxy's very foxy, and she's in love with Catherine. And Nick's just left wondering, could I just step right in? Nick Curran's ex is Dr. Beth, and she seems to be fair. I'm not sure about that, Nick. I think there's been a rape up there. Out in a club with his massive V-neck, middle-aged bloke trying to be cool, following his peck. He gets the girl and has fun times with horniness and dread. Good job, he doesn't want rugrats, or he surely would be dead.
Sing a couple of songs, huh? Why don't we try that?
We better get back, because it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
I'll be back.
That's not.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Wax on, wax off.
You are.
Go for it.
Well, here we go.
Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Come on. Ain't so bad. Ain't nothing.
You must be crazy or something.
I'm crazy.
You're just a stupid
fool. Yeah, maybe you're stupid.
You
ain't breathing heavy.
He's a fool. He's stupid.
I've seen you in 6 hours. Come on.
I must break you.
We'll be right back.
need to be uncertain. Let's limber up the shoulder and make sure we draw the curtain. There's an ice pick in the bed, but we don't know who's the owner. Her thrashing murderous ways, though, can really kill a boner. Yeah, yeah, it's basic instinct time. Yeah, yeah, it's time to unwind. Yeah, yeah, don't forget to fast. Forward past the rude bits. Troubled cop and well known for his vices. He's on a complex murder case where Catherine entices that sweaty guy from Jurassic Park. Looks like he has a fever. The cops are all left wondering, did I just see her beaver? Yeah, 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 it's basic instinct time. Yeah, yeah, it's time to unwind. Yeah, yeah, don't forget to fast. Forward past the rude bits. She's very foxy, and she's in love with Catherine. And Nick's just left wondering, could I just step right in? Nick Curran's ex is Dr. Beth, and she seems to be fair. I'm not sure about Nick. I think there's been a rape up there. Trying to be cool, following his peck. He gets the girl and has fun and times with horniness and dread. Good job he doesn't want regrets, or he surely would be dead. Fast forward past the rude bits.